Well, good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning.
Let's turn to Luke's Gospel and the chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. We have started a study of what is one of the more famous passages in God's Word. We're going to read just four verses, beginning at verse 19 of Luke chapter 16. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. He didn't just have a special banquet or feast every so often. Every day he had a banquet and a feast. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Perhaps we should just say, it's not that Lazarus was sitting there, as it were, at the leg of the table, catching crumbs that fell from the table, but this is just an expression. That which was left over from the meal, some of it, would have been brought down to Lazarus, who was at the gate of the rich man. It says in verse 20, at his gate. Now, I'm not inclined to think that the rich man, after he had eaten, said, oh, gather up what's left and bring it to Lazarus. I don't think that. Because if he fared sumptuously every day, what was left would have more than fed a person. No, I'm inclined to think that some kind-hearted servant, maybe a young lassie or a young lad, who weren't high up in the household staff, but maybe they just were able to grab just a little bit of what was left before it was thrown out, or maybe thrown to dogs, who knows. But they were able to grab a wee bit and sneak it down to Lazarus. Now, there's nothing in the parable that says that is what happened. And yet, I think from an observing of the character of the rich man, etc., I'm inclined to think that is likely what happened. Some of the crumbs. See, even that little word, crumb, speaks to us. It was just small little bits that were left over that were brought down to Lazarus. The rich man never gave a thought to him. But somebody, I think, in his household must have done so. So he's fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked the sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abram's bosom. And the rich man also died, and was buried. We'll end the reading there, and we trust the Lord will bless us as we study his precious word. Now, strictly speaking, I believe, this very well-known portion of God's word is most likely not a parable. Most likely not. I'm not saying this definitely, but I'm inclined to think it's not a parable. But it has been placed amongst the parables by commentators and expositors and preachers throughout the ages, because it's one of the stories the Savior tells. I wouldn't be very strong in the opinion that it's possibly not a parable. I'm more than happy to accept it as a parable, but I do feel that there is a strong possibility that the Savior is reciting here events that really happened. Events that really happened. Now, you know that in the parables of the Lord Jesus, he is telling stories to illustrate certain truths. A sower went forth to sow, etc., etc. Well, that didn't actually happen. Although when sowers were out sowing, things like that did happen. But he was using an illustration. But I think here that it is very likely there was a rich man and there was a beggar called Lazarus. I might observe with you that normally, before every parable, or most parables, there is a little introduction. Like another parable put he forth unto them. Or another phrase that you find in front of parables is, the kingdom of heaven is like. Now, I have to say that it doesn't happen with all of the parables. In fact, if you go to the beginning of the chapter 16 and the verse 1, he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused of him, etc., etc. That's looked upon as a parable. But you'll notice there's no introduction like that which I suggested you find at the beginning of most parables. So it's not right for me to be absolutely definite and adamant and dogmatic about the matter. It's just that I'm inclined to think that this is an actual history rather than an illustration the Lord just, as it were, made up there at the moment of its telling. But I'm more than happy to call it a parable, because if it did really happen, the Saviour is using it to set forth some heavenly truths. The important thing, and this is what I really want to stress, the important thing for us to note is that the words of the Saviour here, from verse 19 through to the end of the chapter, are literal, not figurative. Now, the difference in those two words, some of you may struggle with, but if I can maybe explain it, and not make it even more complex. When I say it's literal, I mean these things really happen. These things really happen. That I'm sure. The hell spoken of here, and the fire in the hell, and the torment in the hell, are literal. They're real. They're not just pictures that illustrate something. You see, boys and girls, I'm stressing this because in the church today, there are those who have come into the pulpits and who twist the Word of God. Twist the Word of God. They come to the Bible and they say, you know, this is not really true. For instance, they'd go to Genesis chapter 1 and they talk about God's creation on the first day, on the second day. You know the story, don't you? Well, they would come, these false prophets, false preachers, they would come and say, you know, we don't take this for real. We don't take this as literal. When it speaks here of a day, we don't think of a day, the sun rising and the sunset. No. We're not to think that. And thus, they would come in and they would just change the whole Bible by telling people not to believe it literally, but to place upon it a pictorial interpretation. It's only a picture of something. There's all the missionary pictures up there on the wall. You go there and you can say of that picture, that's not really the person. That's only a picture of the person. And that's the truth. But you see, these people would come to the Bible and they would say, this statement, it's not really true, it's just a picture. But that's wrong. What God says in the Bible is true. And what the Saviour says here about the rich man going to hell and the poor beggar going to Abram's bosom or paradise, it's true. It's true. Listen, boys and girls, death does not end things. It doesn't end things. It's like you going to school. You're not in school really that long, you know. It's only about 11 or 12 years. And you say, what? That's a long time. Well, it's really not. You know, today is a special day for me. 55 years ago, I was converted. 55 years ago. Now, if somebody on that day had said to me, do you know that 55 years from now, you will be standing before a bunch of boys and girls preaching, I would have laughed at them. I would have laughed at them. 55 years, for one thing, seems so far away. In actual fact, Back then, in 1964, it was in the next century. The next century! You see, I was converted in the last century. Boy, that makes me old, doesn't it? That makes me old. But it's important. It's important for us to know that the life we live, that's only the beginning. You're going to school, that's only the beginning. When you leave school, the chances are, in the mercy of God, you'll have many, many, many years of working and living the life God has appointed for you. Many years. So the day you finish school, it's only the beginning of a wonderful new chapter. And when we die and leave this world, it's the beginning of an eternal, unending chapter. Oh, that we might live with an understanding, a realization, of an awareness of that truth. That's why I'm emphasizing this and striving to bring home to you that what you have here in this parable is not just a picture illustrating something. It's the truth, the plain, unvarnished truth of God. That's what it is. And I'm so keen to emphasize this to you. Now, I think that the theme of this parable is centered upon riches. Centered upon riches. I think the Lord Jesus is wanting to emphasize how deceitful and treacherous riches are. How deceitful and treacherous they are. Now, the riches of the rich man helped him to live a reasonably comfortable life. He sat down at a table laden with food every day. Never was hungry. But I have no doubt that when he got up from the table, he had to face problem after problem after problem after problem. Because riches don't buy you peace and joy and uninterrupted bliss. They don't! Riches invariably will bring into your life all sorts of problems. Oh yes, riches will fill your table with good things. But as well as that, they will bring all sorts of problems. It's a bit like if I might use the table that's mentioned here. I guarantee that this rich man who fared sumptuously every day, so that on his table there was the richest of food, the most delicious of food. And do you know what happens when there's a whole lot of nice stuff put on the table? You eat too much. And when you eat too much, you get indigestion and you feel somewhat sick. So the riches brought good food, but the good food brings with it many problems. And that's a simple truth throughout life, boys and girls. The feeling I mentioned not so long ago, there was a lady living in this county, Tyrone, who bought a lottery ticket and won for herself something like £17 million. And just very recently, there was a picture of her in the newspaper. And I must say, without intending to insult the lady, but she looked thin-faced, gaunt, anxious, and distressed. And you know what she said? She said, I wish I had never seen that money. What? £1 million? £17 million? Everybody in the world virtually would say, well, that's marvelous! I wish it was me. But that woman, having had it, and the problems that come with it, said, I wish I had never seen it. I was better off without it. Now, very few people are ready to believe that that is so, that riches bring trouble. But the Lord wants you to know that riches do not bring the peace and the joy and the comfort and the blessing and the fullness that people expect them to bring. And it's taught us here, the rich man, he fared sumptuously every day, but he died and went to hell. Had his riches anything to do with that? Being rich doesn't mean that you will go to hell. But being rich invariably blinds you to heaven. You can be rich and go to heaven. But in most instances, being rich blinds you to heaven, causes you to turn your back upon heaven and everything that is related to it. Those who desire riches, those who have set their affections on riches, they don't want to listen to the gospel. Round this area here, there are men, farmers, and they work from early morning to late at night, pursuing riches, putting money in the bank. And I have talked to them. I have invited them to come in and hear the gospel. And you know what they said? I haven't time. I haven't time. Now they have as much time as everyone else who does come in to hear the gospel. But their time is used up pursuing after riches. And they run all their days looking for riches, looking for riches, looking for riches. And when they come to die, they'll have no Christ. They will have no salvation. They will have no heaven because they set their love, their heart, their affections, their mind upon riches. That's what the Lord wants us to know. That's what he wants us to know. And I want to say to you, boys and girls, you must ever remember this. When you grow up and you go into the world of work and wage earning, never forget there's something more important, the salvation of your soul. Remember the rich man. He seemed to have a wonderful life, but whatever he had in life was cancelled out 10 billion times 10 billion by what he is enduring now in hell. Long ago, I feel, he has forgotten what it was like to sit and fare sumptuously every day. He's forgotten the taste of that food. He's forgotten all about it as a result of what it is he is presently enduring. You remember this, boys and girls. Riches are not everything. There is a spiritual fortune to be gained by embracing Christ. Well, we'll come back and we'll just illustrate what it is I have just said from some words of Scripture that warns us about riches and the emptiness of them before we progress on a little further in our study of this passage. So let's bow in prayer, please. We thank thee, Lord, for thy word and the warnings, the plain warnings of it. There is so much in this world, Lord, that looks good and pleasant and wholesome, and yet is dangerous. We think of how many each year go into the woods and pluck what they think are edible mushrooms, go home, prepare them and eat them, and die of poisoning. Because the mushrooms they picked were not really mushrooms. They were poisonous. Lord Jesus, the devil sets before us that which is poisonous, and paints it so that it looks like something nice and sweet and pleasant. Lord, teach the boys and girls to heed the warnings of the Bible. Bless your word to every heart today. Bless the school. Another week is coming to an end. Lord, bless the school, and may soon a day of blessing and power dawn upon us here for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.